How are you?
Hey guys, how are you?
Good, good. How are you?
Doing awesome.
Good, good, good.
Ugenbauer, I'd like to introduce you to Chris, and he's available for you to chat to for the next 40-ish minutes. So I'm just going to go on mute and stay silent and let you guys have a nice chat. But I'll be here, obviously, if you guys have any questions or need to ask me anything.
Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you. Hi, Chris. How is everything going?
Oh, everything's going great. Just got back in from Miami. I was down there for a road to the PSPC tournament, and now I'm home for the holidays.
Okay. Chris, can you give me 1 second? I need to introduce you first to my podcast listeners in my own language, and then after that, let's start our conversation. How's that?
It's your show. I'm just part of it, so go right ahead.
Okay. За сайн байцгаана уу их хүмүүс сонсогчдоо. Ингээд өнөөдрийн подкастын маань дугаар эхлээд бэлэн болж байна. За ингээд подкастын маань энэ хүү дугаар маань болохоор 3 дахь дугаар байгаа. Тэгээд 3 дахь дугаартаа нэлийн онцгой зүйлийг та бүхэндээ сонсоохоор бэлдэж байгаа. 1-р энэ подкаст маань болохоор бүтэн англи хэлээр явагдана. 2-р бас энэ хүү подкастн дээр маань хүндтэй зочин ирсэн байгаа. Тэгэхээр энэ хүү зочныг та бүхэн бас мэдэж байж магадгүй. Түүнийг л 2003 оны дэлхийн авраг WSOP-ийн авраг гэдэг нь та бүхэн мэднэ. За дээрээс нь л Poker Stars-ийн ambassador гэдгээр бас илүү их мэднэ. За ингэхээр энэ хүү хүмүүс нь болохоор домогт Chris Moneymaker байгаа. Okay, hello Chris. How is everything going?
Oh, everything's going incredible. You know, just getting ready for the holiday season here and taking a little time with the family.
That's good. That's good. Okay, so let me introduce myself first. My name is Ugenbauer. I am from Mongolia, of course. And so have you heard about Mongolia before?
I know the country. I've never been there, though. It's one of the few places I've never been to.
Okay.
I'm always interested in trying new places and going to new and experiencing new things.
Okay, for a little introduction, Mongolia has a 3 million population, and then we are located in between of Russia and China. And then we are a very, very big country if you come to Mongolia, and it's also very beautiful. So our club is called Mongolian Poker Team, and we were established back in 2017 in order to learn from each other and then in order to teach each other the poker and online poker. Mm-hmm. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I just coughed. Sorry.
I'm losing your signal a little bit.
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on 1 second.
Sure.
My son shut the door, so it's okay. I'm just gonna go down here. Is it better now?
Yes, it's good. It's good.
Perfect. Sorry, I'm just moving. I'm moving to a location where my son's not kicking the ball.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It'll be a little bit quieter.
Okay. Shall we start the interview now?
Yep. Let's do it.
Okay. So, can you tell me about your childhood and why did you wanted to become a poker player?
I grew up in a pretty normal household. Mom and dad married for their whole lives. Brother and sister. Mm-hmm. Never really wanted to play poker. Poker wasn't really something that I wanted to play.
Wow.
My dad played blackjack, so whenever he went to the casino, that's what he always played.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started out as a blackjack player. The problem is I went broke every time I would go to the casino.
Wow,
and
I see.
Obviously, that's not very fun to go broke every time you go. So I figured out you could play poker and started mm-hmm. playing poker in the casino. And was able to enjoy my time at the casino and actually walk out with money. So that's how I started playing poker, strictly as a hobby and as a way to make money when I actually went to the casino.
Okay. Earlier I was watching one of your videos, and then I also heard that your father plays blackjack, right? In Mongolia, it's a very, you know, our country is very conservative. And then when we think about like gambling or when we think about casino, we just normally think it's a bad thing, but you know, you told us, you told in the interview that your father taught you how to manage your money, right?
Yeah. And, I mean, it's one of the most important things.
Yes, exactly. But we don't do that in Mongolia. And then, you know, it's just a very, that was the most like thing that, you know, for me, teaching your son how to bankroll your, manage your bankroll and how to manage your money. So, when did you start playing PokerStars?
I started playing PokerStars about 2002, about a year before I made it to the World Series.
Oh, only a year before.
Yeah. Online poker at that time was relatively new. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of knowledge about it. I didn't know anything about it. Guy, I was playing down in my local casino down in Tunica, mm-hmm. and he said, if you played on this online site, online poker. And I said, no, I have no idea what online poker is. He told me the name. I went back home, checked it out, mm-hmm. set up an account, and I was playing that next week.
Uh-huh. And then that time you were working as a travel accountant, right?
Yeah, I was an accountant. By that time, I was a controller for a restaurant group. So I was more centrally located. I wasn't traveling near as much as I used to. I used to travel a whole lot with Deloitte & Touche, which is a big accounting firm. But by this time, I was a controller for a restaurant group. I was working more of a 9-to-5 job and, yeah, so.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell, to our listeners that the night when you, entered that satellite to the WSOP?
Yeah. So back then PokerStars didn't have the nice lobby layout that they have now, where if you go onto the PokerStars lobby today, mm-hmm. you can see cash tournaments running, sit and goes running. Sit and go satellites, you know, it's really laid out. So you're not going to enter something that you're not really sort of aware of. Mm-hmm. Back then, again, online poker was just now starting out. Sit and goes didn't fill up that often. And it was hard to distinguish between a sit and go satellite and a cash sit and go.
Oh, so I
jumped
see.
In one. Whenever one gets ready to fill up, you just jump into it really fast. So there was one that was going off. It was already had like, you know, there are 8 people sitting in there and they would kick off with 9. Mm-hmm. So I jumped in and I was one of the last ones to get into it and start playing. And I realized I'm in a satellite for the World Series of Poker and not a cash satellite. The other thing is there weren't a whole lot of events back then. So mm-hmm. It's not like there were a whole lot of satellites going on anyways. So it was very rare to see satellites running. That was one of the few WSOP satellites they had running. Sorry, I got animals running all over me.
Mm-hmm, I see. So I heard that also your first intention was that not the sit, right? It was the cash. So you wanted to get a place of fourth to get some cash, right?
Correct, yeah. After I won that satellite, it got me into a satellite the next weekend. The buy-in for that one was $615. And they were giving away 3 seats to the main event of the World Series of Poker. But you got no cash for it. You had a seat mm-hmm. to the tournament, but that's it. Fourth place was $8,000 in cash.
Wow.
That would have gone a long way to helping out the debt that I was in. So I decided that I would rather take fourth place and get the $8,000 than take the seat.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness a buddy of mine was watching from his home computer and sort of saw the deal negotiations started going down. And he called me up and said, hey, I'll buy 50% of your action, give you $5,000, and you can go out to Vegas and have $5,000 and, you know, have 50% of yourself to play, because he thought I could do well. So, with that information, I went ahead and, played for the seat and ended mm-hmm. up winning the seat to the World Series.
Okay. So how much was the first satellite?
The initial satellite was $86.
Wow. And then you made $2.5 million just only with the $86. Is that right?
That's correct. Yep. Pretty good return.
Wow. That's beautiful. Beautiful story. And then that was your first WSOP tournament and then first big tournament. How was, you know, your feeling? Like, you must feel nervous, right?
Of course, it was my first tournament ever.
Ever
played online tournaments. I'd never played a live tournament before. Again, live tournaments were very rare back then. It's not something that you would ever see. Like, there was no daily tournaments. There were no tournaments that you could go to. So it was very rare to play a live tournament. And obviously, I was really nervous. I went into the first day, and I was visibly nervous to basically anybody that was paying attention. Mm-hmm. The good news for me is the hours were – it's two-hour-long levels. So I was able to sit there for quite a long time and gather my composure and not be forced to play any hands. You know, I was used to playing online where the blind structures move up a lot more rapidly than 2 hours. So I felt like I had a long time to sit there, be patient, and wait for hands and wait for opportunities.
Mm-hmm. I remember that you were just freezing over there, and then, like, was it like Johnny Chang? He told you, like, buddy, it's your turn.
Yeah, I was watching. It was Johnny Chan and Howard Letter in a hand, and I was trying to concentrate on both of them. And I forgot that I had cards. I was in the big blind and didn't realize I had cards. So, yeah, I kind of froze and didn't realize. You know, it was my first day on the TV table.
Wow.
I didn't want to make any mistakes. And that was one of the first things that happened throughout the day. So, you know, pretty stupid mistake. And, you know, it was actually probably – be fortunate for me because it made it to where I wasn't as nervous going forward because I already made a pretty dumb mistake.
Yeah.
Even
like,
though Johnny said that'll never make it on TV.
Well, yeah, it was like when I saw you.
Effective. That'll never make it on TV unless you win.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, yeah. And so, which is really lucky. And then it's actually, you know, one of the big histories right now. So, you know, when I saw you, you got freeze and then you were sweating and then you got turned to red. You know, I also remember like my first tournament, like I couldn't do anything, you know, it's just so nervous. And then I know how you feel back then.
Yeah, it's an experience. That's for sure. Yeah. You got to get that first one out of the way. Hopefully it's not a $10,000 buy-in your first one.
Mm-hmm. So Chris, can you tell me about that time? Who was the big names, and then who was the biggest tournament players or the poker players, and then what was your biggest challenge?
The only players I knew going into the tournament were Phil Hellmuth, Johnny Chan, and Doyle Brunson. Those are the only three names I knew. Phil Hellmuth had just won a bracelet, I think maybe his 10th or 11th, or 7th or 8th, I don't even know. He had just won a bracelet a couple days before. Doyle Brunson had written one of the few poker books, Super Systems, out there. And then Johnny Chan was the feature actor in Rounders, the movie, which sort of got me into poker. You know, one of the reasons.
Yeah, 1997, right? Rounders. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So those are the only three players I really knew. I mean, obviously, you know, you had people like Phil Ivey and a couple other guys who I had no idea who they were, but they were obviously there playing, and I just never heard their name at the time.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I saw that one hand that we call the Century Bluff, you know, the WSOP Bluff. You were, you had like a King's Nines? No, what was it?
King Seven.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and he had Queen Nine on a nine high board.
Yeah. And then on the turn, you raised him, and then he called back.
Mm-hmm.
And then on river, you just showed all in. So you were representing like pair of tens, jacks. What was it? What was your play back
then?
Well,
it was, you know, again, poker was a lot different back then. So, you know, now you think in terms of ranges, and you think of range construction and picking, you know, trying to represent a certain range of hands.
Mm-hmm.
Where back then you put your opponent basically on one hand, and that's you just try to guess what they have, and that's sort of the way that a lot of poker players thought, myself included.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to represent a flush, essentially, is what I was trying to represent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one thing that I knew is he wasn't very strong, so it wasn't so much that I was trying to represent anything as that more that I knew he was weak.
Mm-hmm.
I knew he only had like a one pair type hand. And I also knew that he wanted to use his experience to whittle me down.
Mm-hmm.
And he really didn't think I was going to pull off a bluff in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So those factors is really what went into the hand. It wasn't so much what I was trying to represent as knowing kind of what his range was or kind of what his hand was, what I thought his hand was.
Mm-hmm.
and making a play against what his hand was.
I see. And then you also, on the heads up, on the final table, you tried to deal.
I offered to chop it with him 50-50. Uh-huh. And he actually said since he's more experienced, he should get more money. Mm-hmm. I had about a 2-to-1 chip lead at this time. So I thought that was absolutely ridiculous. And right then, I knew that he was going to try to use his experience and try to make this match last as long as possible. Mm-hmm. As it turned out, it lasted, I think it was 24 hands. So he didn't succeed in that. Mm-hmm.
So on the final table, were you the nervous as the first day of the tournament? Or you just got relieved? And
no, I was pretty comfortable by the last day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had knocked out Johnny Chan, who was considered the perfect poker player. I'd been playing for 5 days, 12 to 14 hours a day. I felt like I was reading situations, and all my decisions had been good so far. So I really felt like I was kind of in the zone. And and by that time, too, I had 2 million chips, and the second place had only a million. Mm-hmm. So I had some wiggle room to make some mistakes and to do some things. And that helps a lot, too, obviously. And I also made more money than I ever thought I ever would.
Yeah.
Which, again, goes a long way to helping.
Mm-hmm. But the funny part was that you didn't get any of that money, right? You just gave it to your father, your friend, and your family. Is that right?
Well, I mean, I was going to get some of it, obviously. My buddy had 20% and my dad had 20%. So I end up having 60%. I mean, obviously, the government gets a big portion of that.
Yeah.
But, I was going to have some of it for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about now. So what do you do now?
I travel around the world playing in different poker tournaments, usually smaller buy-ins, representing poker stars.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a big tournament series called the Moneymaker Road to the PSPC, where we're giving away these $30,000 prize packages. There's a big tournament in Barcelona in August of next year. It'll be the second one of these events that we've done. We did one in the Bahamas this year in January, where we gave away $5 million to first place. Wow. They gave away 320 of these passes that were worth $30,000 each to this tournament. So essentially what I do is I go to this tournament, let's say that the buy-in is anywhere between $86 to $350. You know, so it's a smaller buy-in, affordable buy-ins.
Mm-hmm.
And you play the tournament, and the tournament offers, you know, a normal tournament structure, normal cash prize.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of the cash prize, they offer the Platinum Pass,
That's beautiful.
The ticket to get to Barcelona in 2020,
mm-hmm.
to where if you win the pass, you're going to go and participate in it's 22,500 euro buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 7,000 in travel money, airline and expense money while you're there. So it's a really nice package and, it can be life changing for people. The guy that won it last year, that won the 5 million was actually a Platinum Pass winner. He had won the Platinum Pass, previously or during that year.
Wow. So for a Mongolian player, we don't have any live tournament. So from online tournament, can we get one of those Platinum Pass?
For sure. Yeah. If you go on to the Poker Stars, you'll see there's a tab that's satellites to the PSPC. The Megapath is the most common tournament they have running right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get in there relatively cheap and play online. And throughout the leading up until August, there's always going to be new promotions coming out for the online players to be able to get their hands on these Platinum Passes. Again, last year they gave away 320. They haven't set a number of what they're going to give away this year, but it's probably going to be really significant. And, I know just on my tour, we've given away, almost a dozen. And I know the Megapath has given away quite a few already, and there'll be more of those to be given away through the online venues.
Okay, so the first small satellite was, I think, $2. So for our listeners, if you want to go on PokerStars platform and then check out the Mega Path, and then you can find a very small tournament for 27 people with $2. And then, so you can just jump into the next satellites. So which means you can change your life like Chris Moneymaker with only $2 right now.
Yep. And again, it's pretty easy to find. You just, on the upper tab on the top, you'll see satellites, and I'll see PSPC entries and Megapath, and it's pretty easy to find. Now that's the lobby layout's real easy to navigate through.
I see. Okay. I also, find this very funny that during that WSOP, when you tell your name, people were just so confused, and then they were kind of angry that, why anybody put their nickname or the calling name? what really happened back then? And then why? So can you explain about your name, family name?
Well, my name is unique. It's Moneymaker. That is my real last name. And they made silver and gold coins supposedly back in Germany many, many years ago. Oh. And when they went over to England, they took the literal translation of coin maker into money maker. Mm-hmm. So on day one, when I bagged up my chips, I put my name down, and Nolan Dow, the guy that was recording all the chips mm-hmm. for the World Series, thought it was a joke. Thought, look at this guy, being funny, calling himself Moneymaker. Uh-huh. So he didn't believe it. And then once it really started to take note and be a thing on day three, when, again, the first day I made the feature table mm-hmm. on ESPN with Johnny Chan, I had to show I had to fill out a form basically wow. listing your profession. And so, the coverage, when the coverage covers you, they can tell you what your name is.
Yeah.
Well, I had 7 different people come up to me from ESPN telling wow. me that I have to give them my real name, and I can't be, giving them fake names, and I can't use a pseudonym.
It's insane.
Yeah. So I had to show my ID to 7 separate people at ESPN because they weren't believing or understanding that that was my last name. And they were having a hard time putting their head around the fact that someone called Moneymaker's playing a poker tournament this week. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Every morning I would go, and the day I was on a feature table, I would have to show someone new. I would have to bring my ID to wow. show it to them to prove my name.
Mm-hmm. Poker, online poker is getting so big in Mongolia right now. And a lot of people are getting into poker, and also a lot of young guys are choosing, this poker life. So can you tell us about the poker pro daily lives, and then their struggles, and then their opportunities?
Well, it's different for everybody. So, you have your online poker players, which obviously online poker in China, India, Mongolia, it's just growing. It grew throughout the United States a couple of years ago, and it's blowing up. And to be an online poker player, it's really nice because, again, you don't have the expenses of traveling and going out and spending all this money. And also you can start learning from a very low budget. You can start with, 10 cents mm-hmm. in tournament, free roll tournaments. There's so many different buy-in options. So being an online tournament player first is probably the way to go mm-hmm. because, one, you have that range of buy-ins, and two, it's a really good way to see a lot of hands quickly. Mm-hmm. So you learn really fast. And one thing you need to be doing as you're playing is also working on your game off the felt. So going back and reviewing your sessions, seeing where you made mistakes, seeing where you put someone on a range of hands and you were incorrect, and figuring out why. Mm-hmm. Being a quote unquote professional poker player, it's obviously has a lot of freedoms to it. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of time since you're kind of your own boss. You get to work when you want to work, mm-hmm. Do what you want to do. But again, if you're not playing, then you're not earning. So, you're a self-employed individual. You got to put the time in. You got to put the effort in. And, you know, depending upon what stakes you're playing, if you're not playing big enough, you have to put in a lot of work to get income enough to support yourself. And if you have a family, obviously you need to make more. So, you know, and there's going to be downswings. There's going to be hardships when you're playing poker. It's not all just, you know, I make the decision and I win. Yeah, exactly. There's variance involved in this game. So you have to bankroll manage and prepare for the negative, the downsides when you're running bad and things aren't going your way. Because it's going to happen in poker. I don't care how good you are, how bad you are. You're going to run good and you're going to run bad. That's just the variance of poker.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, the better players will eventually win. But to get to that winning point, there's going to be a lot of hills and valleys.
So as we, about the bankroll, you know, the most important thing for our poker players is the bankroll and how we manage it. So what kind of a system do you use for your bankroll?
Okay, so when you're looking at poker bankrolls, you need to look at, first of all, your poker bankroll needs to be independent of your living bankroll. You have to set aside a certain amount of money that is going to be completely independent of your living expenses. Now, if you're a recreational player, you're, you know, playing as a hobby, which I highly recommend, you know, you could be a little bit more flexible with your bankroll. Because you have a job, you know, to back yourself up. And so, but even then, you know, you still want at least 50 buy-ins into a game. So if you're going to go play 1-2 with a $200 buy-in, you want to have at least $10,000 in cash to play a 1-2 cash game. If you go play a $100 tournament, let's say, you know, you want to have 50 buy-ins to that. So you want to have at least $5,000 to play a $100 tournament.
I see.
Now, if you're playing professionally, and that's your only source of income, you want to at least double that. You want to have, for a $100 tournament, you want to have $10,000. If you're playing 1-2, you want to have $20,000. And this allows you to go through the hills and valleys. And, you know, honestly, it's really hard for a lot of people to have that kind of bankroll, especially when you're first starting out. And that's why, you know, poker can be tough to get into at times from a profession standpoint, because you have to make enough money to live on and to play. That's why it's always good to start as a hobby.
Yeah.
Have a job, have a backup plan, and then, you know, build your bankroll through your work and save, and then work on your game as you're progressing up the stakes.
I see. On our last podcast episode, we talked about stakes and sponsors. So do you get stakes right now or before?
I don't get stakes. I've never really gotten stakes. The only time I'll ever do pieces or sell off any action is essentially when I want to give fans a little bit of something to root for. I'll sell 10% off to fans. Through a couple different sites like Ustake, for example. But predominantly, you know, I've been very fortunate being sponsored by PokerStars that, they take care of a lot of the stuff that I have to do. But, you know, selling action is a way, it's a great way in poker to continue to play because of those hills and valleys. You know, the one thing you don't want to do is oversell yourself and play in bigger tournaments than your skill set should allow you
to. Exactly.
And two, to where you get into such a big hole that you can't get out. So I would advise, if you're first starting out into poker, don't ever go out and seek backers or sponsorship or staking. Try to make it on your own for a while and prove to yourself that you can make money on your own before going out and looking for investors to come in and move up stakes. Because again, you got to learn how to play the game through the different stakes, because every stake that you move up, the play is going to improve, or the play is going to be different. And you got to learn basically the difference between playing a $5 tournament and a $100 tournament. And then obviously, you know, all the way up to 10,000.
Yeah, I see. Back to the poker play. What do you think, what is your playing style? And then what do you think the best style for the poker players? In your opinion,
My playing style is kind of a mixture of what my opponents allow me to do. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit unique in that people play polarized against me. And when I say that, I mean that they either go out of their way to try to bluff me or mm-hmm. they go out of their way to stay out of my way. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a face in poker, so people want to have a story. They want to challenge me a lot of times.
Yeah.
So when I'm playing against those people, I'm going to call down lighter. I'm going to bluff less mm-hmm. and I'm going to value bet more. And then I play against people that respect my game or want to stay out of my way. I'm a world champion. They want to, you know, just stay out of my way. Against those people, obviously I'm going to bluff more, call down less. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy to pick up those guys based on play. So my game changes quite a bit based on my opponents. I play, you know, a pretty exploitive style, meaning that, you know, if I was playing against a computer that made perfect decisions every time, mm-hmm. I would be exploitable. Mm-hmm. But the opponents I'm playing against aren't exploiting me so I can play this style. Mm-hmm. The perfect poker style is an exploitive style. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's been so much time over the last couple of years to learn what GTO poker is, game theory optimal yeah. poker, and how to play the correct way in every situation. Mm-hmm. What mathematically, so you can't be exploited by players or by someone playing perfectly. Well, the one thing you have to realize is no one's playing perfectly. Every, mm-hmm. you know, poker is about human error. And it's about partial information. Mm-hmm. So what you do is you should adapt your style to play against your opponents. Mm-hmm. And again, that's going to leave you playing a little bit exploitively. But as a general rule, tight aggressive is the way to go. I mean, you want to play a tight range, mm-hmm. play better in position and be aggressive.
Okay, that's really great. I think we are in the conclusion session. I mean, we are near to the end. So I'm gonna ask you some really serious questions. So, what do you think what makes a great poker player?
A great poker player has a good memory, a good balanced mental. A good mental strength, because poker, when you show up for a poker tournament, 85% of the time you play in a poker tournament, mathematically, you're going to lose. Mm-hmm. And you have to accept failure as part of poker. I mean, you have to understand that when you show up to a casino to play a tournament, mm-hmm. a lot of times you're going to go home without any money. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It takes a really strong mental person. Mm-hmm. It takes a very disciplined person, to manage the bankroll and to pick correct events and to pick correct events that you can go off to and play as a professional poker player. Mm-hmm. But it also takes a person that's willing to gamble as well, that's willing to put it all on the line when the situation warrants. Once you've decided to play your tournament, you have to be willing to go broke with the worst hand. Mm-hmm. And those two things are kind of counterproductive, mm-hmm. being disciplined and also being willing to go broke. Mm-hmm. So that's what makes playing poker so difficult, is you have to master both of those skills, and it's really difficult to do.
I see. As I mentioned earlier in our conversation, you know, a lot of Mongolian new players are joining to the PokerStars. What is your big advice to those guys?
Well, study, learn, start small. Mm-hmm. PokerStars has a star school that gives great and tutorial lessons on how to start playing the game. Mm-hmm. There's also all kinds of different websites out there where you can go and learn the game effectively. Mm-hmm. You know, free rolls are a great way to learn, or just playing the super small stakes. If you feel like you have to play for something, mm-hmm. because a lot of people feel like the free rolls, people don't just shove all in. You know, you can play small stakes and really get a good feel for people trying mm-hmm. really hard to earn the money. And, you know, just don't move up too quick. Manage that bankroll, build it up, and set goals every single day for you to build that bankroll. And also, if you're not building that bankroll, study and find out why. Don't just say, I'm running bad. Find out, are you really running bad? Or are you making bad decisions? Are you making bad plays?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Question about the length of your poker years. Before 2003, how long did you play poker? It's really interesting for our listeners?
I'd been playing poker for about a year.
Mm-hmm. Year.
Yeah, I was relatively new.
Wow.
Yeah. But the difference is the amount of poker knowledge that was available back then versus now is vastly different. It's a much different landscape, much different knowledge base. And the average poker player back then was very weak, where today the average poker player is much stronger. Mm-hmm. So it's much more difficult just to start playing and being profitable.
Okay. There is over 10 to 20 members in our club, in the MPT club. I would like to invite you to tell them, you know, like inspirational quote or inspirational thing, because they choose this poker life. You know, they know how it's hard. They know they have some ups and downs, but, you know, it'll be really interesting or the motivating to hear something from you directly to my club members.
Basically, at the end of the day, if you're making the correct decisions and the profitable decisions, you're going to make money. You're going to run bad. It's going to happen. You're going to take bad beats. You're very privileged to be able to play this game, especially if you're playing it for a living. So look at this as a privilege. There's going to be hard times. There's going to be times when you take a bad beat. But just focus on the decisions that you're making. When you made the decision, did your decision make sense? And was it the correct decision? If you can sit there and realistically say, yes, I made the right decision with the information that I had, then you're on your way to being a successful poker player. And you don't have to worry about the short-term results. And again, if you're managing your bankroll properly, again, short-term results won't matter as much. So whenever, you know, the hardest times come, when you take bad beats or you're running bad, lean on your other card members to get you through it. Mm-hmm. Talk through hands, learn from experience, work together. We'll be seeing you guys out the World Series in no time.
Okay. Chris, thank you so much for everything. And thank you again. Thank you for accepting our invitation. And then thank you, PokerStars, providing us this such big opportunity. And I hope that I will meet you, or we will meet you, in the final table of PSPC or WSOP heads up with you.
That would be awesome. And thanks. I'm honored to have you on your show. And thanks for setting this up. It's been a blast. Thank you for having me. And hopefully I'll make it to Mongolia one day and see you guys there.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, I really, really hope that they will come true. So again, thank you so much. This was Chris Moneymaker, guys. Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
Have a good one, too. Bye-bye. Ингээд өнөөдрийн зочноор алдарт покерт эмэрчэн дээрэс нь домогт Chris Moneymaker олцлоо. Ингээд дараа дараагийн нэвтрүүлгээр ямар зочин бас хэнийг өрөх тухай бас саналуудаа та бүхэн бас дэлгэрэнгүй бидэнтэй хуваалцаарай гэж хүсье. Ингээд дараагийн нэвтрүүлэг хүртэл түр баяртай.